I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and you know that I'm thrilled to be here with you. You know, I think our program from last week really hit a chord with a lot of people. You know, I had Bill Dallas, our man of faith here from the neighborhood, on, and we were talking about his visit with serial killer David Berkowitz. So that's a great program. If you didn't get to hear it when it came up on the station, go to the podcast and listen to it. It's called An Encounter with David Berkowitz. Really a fun interview for me to do, and very informative from Bill. And Bill is such a genuine person that his opinions, you can count on him, that he believes those things and he cares about them. But I found that to be great. A lot of tweets people sent me, a lot of emails people sent me were very genuine. But it asks us a question. That interview with Bill Dallas about his encounter with Berkowitz asked us a question. Can we, as human beings, overcome maybe our negative feelings about this man because of what he did? And can we extend forgiveness to him? Do we have that capacity to do that for someone like that? The capacity of forgiveness is important. And like I said in the interview, if you haven't listened to it yet, go listen to it. I'm telling you, it's really a good one. I liked it. That's where the rubber meets the road about religion, doesn't it? Well, lots of rubber meeting the road things are kind of coming up. And what I'm looking at this week is I'm looking at this border crisis now. I mean, we've been talking about this for how long, what's been going on. But I think right now you're seeing two different sides of this conversation really devolving to its base. And we really need to, as a people, as all of us, as a country, we need to solve this problem. We need to deal with this problem realistically, because it will, and it is, changing our country. And if we don't deal with it, it's going to take us to places that we don't want to go. So recently I was reading a bunch of tweets from two people that were going back and forth at each other about the border crisis. And it quickly devolved into name-calling. You know, the one person was trying to make the point, how many people can we actually take care of? How many people can we allow into our country? Is there a number? And if we reach that number and there's still more people want to come, what do we do then? Tell those people they can't come? Is that when we tighten up the border? When we reach a number we agree on? Or do we just let everybody who wants to come here, come here? Well, the person on the other side, didn't answer those questions, wasn't willing to engage in that conversation, instead just started calling name-calling. Of course it was, well, you're a racist, you don't want people that don't look like you, you hate people, instead of dealing with the questions, because the questions are legitimate. We have to, as adults, we have to deal with these kind of things. You can't just put off these problems because they're difficult. So that requires me to then critically look at this and say, well, what is this really about? And I think if we look at it, there's two different sides of this. I don't believe that there's a racial element here. Nobody cares who somebody is that wants to come to the country. If they're going to come here and they're going to be a productive, positive member of our society, and we need them, then we're going to want them to come in, no matter who they are, no matter what their skin color is. None of that really matters. The reason that the other side throws that race card out there is because, historically, that is a conversation stopper. All right? That is a conversation stopper. When somebody throws the race card out at you and they start calling you names and saying, well, of course you don't want these people here. What are you supposed to say when somebody says that to you? And in our country today, if somebody calls you a racist, everybody backs away from you. Even your allies, your friends, your workplace, everyone will back away from you just because you've been called a racist. They don't want you there. People lose their jobs over it. So it's a powerful tool that people use to silence the argument. So if they don't want to have the argument about what can we really do to help, what do we have the capacity to do as a country to take care of people who can't take care of themselves, if we don't really want to have that argument, then why do we want to let all these people in? What is the purpose of our friends on the left being so adamant that we let all these people in? And I think it comes down to, it's always very, very clear with many of the topics that are brought up by people on the left, and again, these are many people in my family, people that I love, is that there's an ulterior motive that they have, but they can't come out and say what their real motive is because they figured that would turn people off, so they come up with these other, that it's about helping people. You know, we look at these detention centers. I don't want anybody to be in those detention centers. I think that would be a horrible place to be. And I'm not talking about the conditions, because we have ICE people and we have other people saying, hey, it's not perfect. It's a detention center, but it's not like people on the left are describing it. You know, it's horrible and it's terrible. And we would, you know, I'm sure it's not comfortable. But the reality is, we didn't send our law enforcement agencies over the border to grab those people, drag them back to the detention centers and put them in there. We didn't do that. They did that by coming across the border illegally. We have law. We have laws and we have processes and procedures. And if you come here illegally, you have to be detained because we don't know who you are. You could be a cartel member. You could be a gangster. You could be a terrorist. What is the purpose? We do not have open doors. Why do we put locks on our houses? So people don't just walk in. We want to know who's at the door. We make them ring a doorbell. And if we don't want them in our home, we don't open the door, right? If they're dangerous for us, we don't bring them into our family. Well, see, these are common sense things to talk about, but our friends on the left immediately turn around. It's because you hate. It's because you hate. It's because you hate. I don't hate anybody. I don't care who comes here if they have value to bring to our country. And we've kind of lost place of that argument, that means something. We are allowed to say, is there value in this person coming to our country? Are you, because you're not part of our country. So we have a right to open our door or not open our door. Not based on your needs, but based on our needs. You see, it's our country. We get to decide what's a good reason for you to come here. You don't just get to decide, well, you're America, so you got to let me in. And this is where, when this argument breaks down, and it goes to name-calling, that tells you that the other side may have an ulterior motive. And I think we all have said it 1,000 times. The ulterior motive is if you flood the country with people who are dependent on government for their food, for their medical care, for their sustenance, for whatever it is that they need, they're going to vote for those people who give them the most things. Now, this is a terrible topic to talk about. Nobody wants to say it. And when you do say it, that's when you're called a racist. That's when you're called a this. That's when you're called a that. But the reality is, I think this is the motive of our friends on the left. I think they want to flood the country with people who are going to vote for them and turn the tide of elections so that they have a permanent power base. Because you see what's going on. Like right now, this whole socialist Democrat thing that's coming forward now with these new Democrat politicians are coming out and outwardly saying they are democratic socialists and they believe in socialism. They want us to go towards socialism. Well, a lot of the people that they want to bring in come from countries where socialism is in play. So they're used to that kind of a government. And bringing them in untold numbers and allowing them to vote, they're going to vote for other socialists. They're going to vote for the Democrats who are going to promise them everything from free healthcare to free college to free housing to a free car. Right? They're going to give them things. They're not worried about who's going to pay for it because that's not really a concern of theirs. Their concern is to obtain power. Now, you can believe me or not. I think the reality about people who see the border crisis and are genuinely moved by the people who were there, I think that's where we have to separate those of our Democrat left friends from the Democrat left politicians. The politicians are playing on the heartstrings of our people, and they're using those people in the detention centers as pawns to get what they want. And I think there's a lot of good and decent people who call themselves Democrats that see those little children in there. They see them being separated from their parents because we don't know half the time they're not their parents. DNA says half the time they're not. They're just people dragging kids across the border because our law allows them, if you come in with a kid, you get to come right in. So they're playing our laws against us. Then our Democrat politicians are playing our heartstrings against us. And I think a lot of good and decent people see that and say, why can't we just let them all in? They just want to come here and live a good life. Why can't we let them do that? And I understand that emotion. But we cannot make decisions by emotions. Now, emotions always have a place in our lives because that's what makes us human beings. But we can't make important decisions based on emotions. We have to make them on fact and reality on the ground. So is there a number? Is there a number? How many people do we let in? Right now they say there's 11 to 15 million illegal people here in the country. Do we let in another 15 million? If 15 million is okay and we can give them free health care and free everything else they're asking for, because California and New York are doing that now, giving free health care. But is there really such a thing as free? Who's paying for that health care? When you go visit that doctor and you get medicine, somebody had to pay for that. Who's paying for that? The rest of us working people are paying for it. It's not really free. It's free to the people who are getting it, but it's not free to the people who are giving it, which is us, because government money only comes from us. So what's the number? Is 30 million the number? If 30 million is okay, why not 60 million or 80 million? At 80 million, would we all say, uh-oh, our schools and our hospitals are now completely overwhelmed. We have to double and triple everyone's property tax to pay for the schools, to pay for the health care, to pay for all this. And is that when we all say, okay, that's enough now. 80 million is the limit. Well, what about the other 80 million who are on the other side of the border who are saying, well, we want to come too? Is that when we build the wall? Is that when we draw the line? Is that when we say, no, we can't have you come here? That's a legitimate argument. So many people think we've already reached that limit. Okay? People working and working and working, and they're not getting ahead because you're paying so many different kinds of taxes that we started a revolution over a 4% tea tax. And now most people are paying 50 and 60% of their entire salary for various state, local, federal sales taxes on everything. So this is a legitimate argument. Why can't we have a legitimate argument about this topic? Why can we not sit down and say, okay, is this a real problem? That's what you need to ask yourself. And that's where I'm telling you there is a ulterior motive to this. Now, I think many of the good and decent people who are on the left, like many of my family and friends, they are good and decent people, and they just see the emotional side of this. We have to let these people in. How can you keep those children in those places for 30 and 40 days? Let them out. Let them just get out so they can go and be in the sunshine and play. I get it. But that is exactly what the ulterior motive wants us to say. That's why they're pumping this up. That's why the media pumps this up. That's why you never see the argument in the media. Why don't they actually do an expose and let's see, really, what does it cost a community that's overrun with illegal aliens? What does it actually cost the house people that take the house owners? Does their taxes go up? What's it like in the schools for their kids where they have to provide all these different kind of services for non-citizens? Because people want them in at the door. And the reason they want them in is because they really want them to vote for them so that they have this overwhelming power. Now, we saw in the 2016 election that Hillary won the popular vote. And people can argue about that, but I think it's probably true. We don't go by popular vote. We don't go by mob wins the argument, right? If we did, then everybody who wanted to say, you can only have Christmas trees in your front yard, we vote for that, and we outvoted you, and that's all you get to have. That's not how our system is set up. We have the Electoral College for a reason, so that every state has a say in what goes on. So the popular vote, you get two very popular states that have lots and lots of our population, New York and California, and they all vote one way, well, then the number is going to tilt that way. And are we going to allow New York and California to make every rule, to make every election, to decide everything for everyone in our country? Of course not. That would be foolish. But again, our friends on the left, they play the argument that it's not fair. Hillary got 3 million more votes. She should be the president. Well, she only got 3 million more votes from some very left-wing states that voted very heavily for her. Well, guess what? She won those states. She won those electoral votes in that state. Right? We don't go by individual vote because, again, that's another play on our emotion that we should be fair. Because if you don't think so, you're not fair. Well, what would happen then? the entire election would come down to those two states, and everybody else would be at the mercy of those people. We can't have that argument either, because you're a hater, you're a racist, you don't like women. This is where this political correctness in the argument is really going to be our downfall. It already is, but it's going to be our downfall because we cannot even discuss these things. Now, I do a lot of teaching, all right? I teach in a lot of places. I teach cops, business people, school people, all that kind of thing. Safety and security, everybody knows that. We talk about it. One of the things I find over and over is that the reality of human interaction and human communication is that most of us do not listen to the other person with an idea to understand what they're actually saying. We listen so that we can respond. Okay, and what that means is two people start to have an argument. Hey, listen, I have a concern that too many people are coming across the border, and I don't know that we can afford to do that. And then the other side is listening to that and wants all those people to come in. So instead of saying, all right, well, let's ask that question and let's figure out what could we actually afford, they immediately respond. Well, you don't want them here because you hate, because you're a racist. Well, that's not a conversation. That is juvenile name calling, you know. And I know I'm going far afield here, but all of this has really come into the fore. When Tom Holman, the former Homeland Security chief, was testifying the other day, they were telling him he didn't care about dying babies. He didn't care about starving people. He didn't care about people of color. And this man, you know, got very upset, and he had to lash back at these politicians who are making these scurrilous statements about a man that he doesn't care about dying babies. Unbelievable, the things that these people will say, and they fake this anger that they're, oh, you, because you hate people. You know, if we're going to allow that is what's going to dictate how we live and run our country, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost over then. That is what it comes down to. I was listening to the radio, and I hear they did a poll of younger people, young adults, not young children, young adults. And they were asking them questions about how we do certain things. And the way they phrased the question was, keeping people in the detention centers till we determine if they're safe to release or not. Is that cool or not cool? And the recipients responded overwhelmingly, that wasn't cool, that's not cool. Is that how we're making decisions now? Whether something's cool or not, that's a cool thing to do, or that's not cool, man. That's not cool keeping people in there. Are we devolving intellectually to that point where you got people with commentary like that asking if something cool or not cool, how to make a decision of what's going to happen to our country? Yes, I'm a little wound up today. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, we're back on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. All right, so I got a little wound up, in that last segment, but I think it's justified. You know, we're talking about some very, very serious things here, and we cannot have these conversations. It is not only frustrating from the point of view of not being able to solve a problem. I'm the kind of guy, you know, in my business, we have a problem. We don't put it off. We don't call names. We don't argue with each other over nonsense. We sit down and say, well, what is the problem? What can we do to fix it? What do we want to do to fix it? What's the right thing to do to fix it? And how do we go about doing that? And then all sides make their commentary, bring out their points of view, and then we make a decision. That's how you decide things. The fact that we are devolving into this arguing, screaming, who can make who feel the worst by name-calling and having the media pile on and be a part of that mess that they You know, you watch some of these news networks, and all day long, all it is no matter what the president does, no matter what anybody does who doesn't believe in left-wing things, no matter what they do or say, it's because they hate, it's because they're racist, it's because they just don't like people of color, it's because they don't like women, it's because they don't like this one, they don't like that one. It's never, well, is there anything to the argument that we should talk about? Does our Constitution provide answers for these things? But again, the ulterior motive there is to get rid of the Constitution, because the Constitution prevents the left socialists from having the say and the rule that they want to have. And that's really where this comes down to. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but if you can't see it in front of your face right now, it's because you're choosing not to see it. Okay? So this Tom Holman from DHS, he really went at the politicians and he lambasted them for saying he doesn't care about dying children. He threw it right back in their face. But I say, well, where does this come from? Where does this new attitude come from? And we have to look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, okay? AOC. She has become such a powerful voice on the left. Now, that's because the media likes her, because she is a declared socialist. She's an attractive woman. Her story is very interesting. You know, it's one of those, you know, she came from nothing and she finds herself to be a congressman in the United States congressman, and she has a lot to say about things. She is very emotional in her appeal about her different things. But you got to remember, and I don't say this to put her down in any way, but the reality is, just like the people asking a question by saying, do you think it's cool or not cool that we do this or that, that we drop to such a low level of intellectual discourse that we're asking people their opinion based on how cool something is or not cool, because that's the level that they're at. This young lady, this AOC, she was a bartender 2 years ago. Now, I'm not putting down bartenders. I know bartenders. My mom bartended for a while. Nothing wrong with being a bartender. I've met a lot of very smart, wonderful bartenders. So let's be clear about that. But the reality is, this is just a girl who had a job in a bar, and she's like a lot of, how many other people do you have a conversation with? Well, you know, man, what they really should do is this. And you know what? They're crazy for saying that. I would do this if I was in charge. And you got people who can't even run their own checkbook, and they're telling you what they would do if they were in charge of the country. Unfortunately, AOC is one of those people, and she's now in charge of running the company, which is our country. So that, I think, is part of the problem. We don't have a cadre of smart, really dedicated people that have an understanding and an ability to be honest about what's going on. When it comes to AOC, her campaign manager got in trouble because he gave an interview to some TV station where he was talking about the Green New Deal, and he admitted that the Green New Deal is really not about climate change, because, you know, everybody knows in reality that there's nothing we can do to change the climate. I mean, we can pollute the air, but we can't really change the climate. So he was saying the Green New Deal is really not about climate change. It's really about getting control of the American economy so that they can transform it into a socialist economy. That's the reality. See, that's what I'm talking about when I say that there's a hidden agenda. They couldn't come out and say that. Listen, the whole idea here is that we just want to take over the economy and socialize the country. Because I think most Americans, having that presented to them, would actually back away from that in huge numbers. And we're going to see that in 2020, whether or not that happens. This is, you know, every election for the last bunch of cycles has been the most important election in our lifetime. I have a feeling this one really is that. Because we're going to make a lot of big decisions here as a country. Are we going to go to the left, or are we going to go traditional? Stay to the right. You know, what are we going to do? A lot of polls, a lot of people are out there saying that America is traditionally a right-of-center country. That's who we really are. But we don't always vote that way. I mean, a lot of times we vote for the lefty lunatics that are out there. The fact that we have four people in Congress now that are avowed socialists and anti-American, and they get news time, they get stories, they get brought on TV shows that they're really super wonderful people, and they hate our country. They want to change our country from what we've always been into some socialist mecca, which in reality, if we have the conversation, where has socialism actually worked for the people? Where has it worked out? Where, hey, every, you know what? A lot of us don't have food. A lot of us don't have cars. And once we socialize, we will all have the best cars. We will all have the best food. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. What happens is you take the people who have stuff and you take stuff away from them. So everyone has nothing. And that's what they consider fair. Is that fair? All right. I think we were talking about this a couple weeks ago and I said, they say there's an income gap. Well, isn't there an effort gap? Isn't there a hard work gap? Isn't there a risk gap that people that start businesses, run businesses, take chances, invest in stock markets, invest in a business, try a new job, get themselves educated so that they can get ahead? Don't they take a pretty big chance? Right? My daughter's going to college and we're looking to invest $35,000 per year for her to get an education so that she can get ahead. That's a pretty big risk. That's a lot of money to put out. All right? But we want to give her the best possible chance she can. So the argument comes down to, well, not everybody can afford to do that. So it's not fair. So college should be free. Well, do professors go to work for free? Does the lunch people, do they go into the college and do they work for free? Does the people who supply the food to the college, you know, so the kids can get the freshman 15, does the food show up for free? No. Somebody has to pay for all that stuff. So there is no free college. So where do they get the money from? Well, they go to the people who have it, which is really the middle class. Okay? They talk about this 1%. And that, again, that's a game. You know, the 1%, they're trying to isolate super rich people as the 1% have everything. It's really the middle class that has the most money. You could confiscate all the money of the 1%, every penny, every car, every boat, every yacht, every Mercedes-Benz they drive around in. You could take everything from them and make them live in a tent in the woods. And it wouldn't be enough to run this government for more than a couple of days. All right, so the vast majority of money comes from the middle class, you know, all of us. So when they have to pay for free college for everyone, where's that going to come from? It's going to come from us. When they're going to give free health care to illegal aliens, to people who snuck across the border, when they're going to give that to them, where's that money going to come? Are those doctors going to work for free? Is that medicine going to be for free? Oh no, I forgot. We're going to go to the pharmaceutical companies and we're going to demand that they give us free medicine or make it super cheap so that we can give it out. Right, I forgot all about that. That's how that's going to work. That's the answer from the left. That's what they're going to take over the companies and they're going to make the drugs so that it's free and the price is really low. Well, here's a reality snapshot, ladies and gentlemen. If the companies that are making these life-changing drugs, if they have to put out billions of dollars in research and testing and trying to figure out the best way to make a serum or a vaccine or a cure or a pill for something that ails you, that costs lots and lots of money. If they don't have the incentive that they can make that money back, they're not going to do it. So when it's taken over by a socialist control and they tell them, okay, well, come up with a cure for foot fungus. Well, they're going to say, well, it's going to cost $1 billion. We don't have $1 billion. Well, then what do? We'll do it for free. Well, who's going to do it for free? Do you see how it lowers? Nobody's going to do it for free. The professors aren't going to teach for free. The doctors aren't going to give needles out for free. No one's going to do anything for free. It costs money to do these things. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a problem that we don't need to address about why things are so expensive. Is there a way we can bring down costs reasonably? We can use the markets to bring down costs. I'm not saying that that's not a real problem for people. Believe me, I've seen situations in my own family where somebody needed medication that was so expensive they could not afford it. That was horrible. Doesn't mean they couldn't have it. It just means they didn't have insurance that would cover it. And if they wanted that $500 a month medication, they had to come up with $500 a month. Now that meant maybe selling some of their things, maybe cashing in some of their retirements, all very painful things, no doubt about it. But we can have that conversation as a rational group of people and figure out what we can do to try and help change that. But to just say the government's going to take it over and it's going to be a panacea. It's going to be great. Everyone's going to have everything. We saw how that went with Obamacare. It's all a lie. There is no way to get free stuff, right? You have to go take it from someone else. And that's where they're aiming us at. They're aiming at confiscating and high taxing people to death. Bill O'Reilly, you know, Bill O'Reilly, the old guy from Fox News. Bill O'Reilly, you know, personally, I don't know what he did or didn't do. I know the accusations were made about him. But I just heard him the other day. He was talking about the plan. He wrote this article called The Plan, and it's something that he says he's been privy to information that the whole plan is really to set up a government where they confiscate wealth from everybody, and they take everything, including the middle class. You know, you have two cars, well, now you're going to have one car. You know, you go to college, well, you're going to go to the local college. You know, only certain people, because that's how it always works, right? Some are more equal than others. Only certain people are going to go to the really elite schools, where they'll be the elite that'll run the country. The rest of us are going to go where we can afford once we take everything from everybody. And that's, does that really sound like that's going to raise our standards, or is that going to lower our standards? This is a reality that we're now facing. It's what AOC and her followers would be looking to do, because these are just people from the neighborhood. No offense to Bill and the boys. These are just people from the neighborhood that are slinging ideas around over a beer in the bar. And that's how I would solve the problem. But now they're in charge. And they really have no experience with any of these things. So I always have to backtrack, because it leads me one thing to another. I'm not saying career politicians are the answer, because they're not. Intelligent, dedicated people are the answer to have these conversations. We can talk about ideas that the left have, because I've said this many times. Not all their ideas are bad. I'm not one of these people that say, hey, listen, I'm a conservative guy. Everything on the left is wrong. I'm not saying everything is wrong. I'm saying sometimes they're good ideas, but they're impractical. They're good ideas, but to execute them the way they want to execute them would not work in the real world. I'm not saying that some of the ideas aren't bad. It would be great if there was healthcare that everyone could have and could afford, but you don't just take away everybody else's stuff to give healthcare to people. Maybe you come up with a policy where you have catastrophic healthcare, and we allow the market to, instead of the doctor visit being $140, because that's what insurance will pay, maybe the doctor visit goes back down to $65 if everyone has to pay out of pocket, right? So now you'll decide where you'll spend your money. You'll have a low-cost, catastrophic plan if you get cancer, have a car accident, have something bad happen to you. But your day-to-day stuff will be out of pocket. And those prices, the market will drive those prices down, because if everyone has to pay and no one goes to the doctor at $140 a visit, then the doctor will lower his prices because he wants to get people in the door. That's how he makes his livelihood, or how she makes her livelihood. That's how the market works. All right. If you're selling lemonade on the corner for $10 a glass, nobody's going to buy it. You bring it down to $1 a glass, you might sell 100 glasses. That's how the market really works. Going over to everyone and saying, listen, you got $20 in your pocket. I'm taking that 20, and now you're going to go over and get a glass of iced tea or lemonade. That's a socialist system, because we want to make sure everybody gets a glass of iced tea. So we're going to take yours and give it away. And I know I'm kind of going far afield with that one too, so forgive me. My point is that this system is now knocking at our door for real. These people are for real. What are their motives? What are the motives behind their commentary? You know, do we want people with limited life experience, limited job experience, limited, and I don't want to say intellect, you know, who the hell am I to say that about anybody? But when you listen to the things AOC says, you have to kind of question, you know, how smart is this young woman? She comes up with these wacky commentaries. She comes up with these wacky back and forths. I don't even understand half of them, where she puts them together. But is that who we want running it? We want people running. Is it cool or not cool that we confiscate half of everyone's income? Is that cool? Let's vote for that, man. Is that cool or not cool? Is that where we're going? I mean, look at how many things have changed over the course of a very short period of time. But have they changed for the better? Now, societally, socially, I think we have become enlightened. And there are groups of people who were treated very poorly in the past that now we understand a little bit more about them and we accept them. But has that been enough? No. Now they're demanding more. Well, everybody's just being accepted. Let's just accept each other. Does it matter what you do? What does it matter your skin color? It doesn't. Why does it matter who you love? It doesn't matter. Just go about your business. But don't demand everything from everybody else. I don't go around demanding everybody go to church on Sunday. It would be a good thing if everybody did, because church is very helpful to you. But I don't demand that because I think that's important, or that's what I do, that you have to do it. I don't do that, right? I just accept some people want to go to church. Some people don't want to go to church. Some people don't believe in God. Some people do. Well, the people that don't, if they want to have a conversation, I'll explain to them why I think there is a God and why it's a good thing. If they don't want to have that conversation, I won't have the conversation with them. It's the same thing with everything else. We are all just human beings. We have different needs. We have different desires. We have different gifts. We have different skills. And we are so caught up in arguing, in changing the way things are so radically, that it's causing a huge rift in our country between our people. These upcoming elections are going to be very, very important, and they are going to be the talisman of the future. They really are, because we are at that moment where the other side is actually coming clean now with what they believe, what they want to do, and now we're going to see which way our country is going to go. Which way are you going to go? Traditional America or socialized America? Everybody's got a stake in this, and we'll be right back on Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Spreading the OUTLOUD truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Ding, ding, ding. Round three of Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. Hey, listen, this is, you can see I'm a little wound up today, and I think for good reason, but I want to do a little bit of a lightning round. I want to kind of move away from the border, though doesn't mean I don't have some more comments about it as it comes up in topics, but I really want to address some of the other things that are going on. So here we go, lightning round with Lieutenant Joe. Kind of rhymes, don't it? So Mr. Mueller and the hearings. Special Prosecutor Mueller is supposed to come and testify. Interesting. He says he's only going to testify to the four corners of his report. So what exactly is it he's going to say that's different? Why are they bringing him back again? Why are they making all these people come back again to take another bite at this apple, which it's pretty clear there was no collusion. I think most of us knew that from the beginning. This was a big ploy. This was a coup attempt. It's going to be interesting to see what Mr. Barr is going to do, our Attorney General. And I've told you that I've been concerned that they're going to whitewash this for the good of the political class. And turn out that, yes, some bad things were done, but nobody will be prosecuted. There will be no justice for all of us who had to endure the other side of that nonsense. But who knows? I could be surprised. He seems to be, in his commentary, doing the right thing. He seems to be a guy that is willing to do the right thing. And if he indicts some of these people, that would be great. I think that would kind of show all of that group, you can't do these things. Because that is just as dangerous as having a fifth column in our country. It is a fifth column. These people were literally trying to affect our election. They were trying to control the politics of the nation. They were trying to control the outcome of an election. And once the election didn't go their way, they were trying to damage the person who rightfully won. That is a coup. It's shocking to me that people don't get it more. And I understand why they don't get it more, because the media doesn't talk about it. The media doesn't do any type of expose on, let's just see what happened here. Can you imagine if any of this had happened to President Obama, or if any of this happened to the Democrat candidate that they're going to run in 2020? If Trump used the CIA and fake FISA warrants and all this stuff to undermine that candidate, could you imagine what they would be screaming about? Now, that's even more frustrating to us, as you can hear in my voice, because we all know what would happen. We all know that political correctness and having that left-wing point of view gives you a right to do things that, if you're a conservative, you could not do. You know, the media will give the liberals a pass on everything they do wrong, and they will make up things about conservative people. Now, you can argue with me. You can say that that's not true. Who did I hear the other day? From CBS News, NBC News. I can't think of his name. He's the head talking piece for the news. He was on, and he was talking to some guys, and he says, "Well, you know, we hear about this bias all the time, but there really is no bias. What it comes down to is every day we set up our news program, and if we hear the president say something or we hear other things and we realize that that's not true, what's being said, it's our duty. It's our duty to go out and tell the truth about it." And I'm listening to this and I'm saying, well, that's interesting. Okay, you want the media to hold truth to power, or whatever that saying is, but they only do it one way. If they don't like what Trump has to say, if they don't like his worldview, or they don't like a conservative worldview, then everything a conservative says is a lie or untrue or dangerous or hateful or something else. But everything that a liberal says is good, because that's what they believe. Of course they're only trying to do the right thing. Of course they want, well, it doesn't ever work out, but at least their heart is in the right place. So that was Lester Holt. That's who it was. I'm sorry. Lester Holt. And he sounded like a nice man. He sounded like he was sincere. But, you know, it's a lot of things to say that you're trying to do the right thing and be an honest newsman. And then you watch the news and you see 90% of it is slanted against President Trump. Okay, I'm not saying everything Trump does is right. Not at all. Nobody is ever 100% right. But in general, you know, let's do a fact check again here. No matter what that he says inarticulately or in other ways that maybe a lot of us wouldn't say it, the reality is the economy is booming. Everybody is doing better. And the country is strong. You know, does anybody have any doubt that if anybody did anything to this country, this guy would respond appropriately, and he would use the military appropriately to respond? I have no doubt. If we had Hillary, can you imagine the nonsense that would be going on? Your taxes that would be up? There'd be no tax increase. We'd be back to the new normal, as President Obama said. The economy would be down around 1%, 1.1%, if it stayed that far, if it had that much growth. We'd still be limping along. There'd be millions and millions of people still on food stamps and welfare. But now, people have been freed from that burden. They have jobs. There's so many jobs now. I think they said there's 7 million available jobs. And there aren't 7 million people to take them. So what do we do? Okay? We have more work than we can handle now. So if you need to get a better job, you can do that. If you need to look around, change your field, now's the time. The economy is great. What can they argue about? he hasn't rounded up these groups of people that thought they were going to be rounded up and re-educated and beaten and you know, forced to change their point of view and their lifestyle changing. None of that has happened. None of that has happened. And we I think we all who were on the conservative side knew that none of that was going to happen. That's all rhetoric. It's all lies from people on the left because they can never just tell you the truth. And that's why I'm so frustrated with them. Like I said, I don't think they have... Well, I don't think all their ideas are bad. I just don't think they're honest with us about their ideas. And I don't think their ideas are tenable the way they want them to be. Who doesn't want clean water and clean air? Oh, you conservative Republican guys over here, you want dirty air and dirty water because your family has some supply of fresh air that none of the rest of us have? You know, it's absurdity. It's absurdity. So we look at Mr. Mueller. See how I got around that big circle there? Mr. Mueller is supposed to testify, and now he put that off. Do you think he wants to sit in front of a bunch of these Republican conservative congressmen who are going to ask him some very pointed questions? You know, first of all, his duty as the special prosecutor, as is any prosecutor, either you find enough evidence to indict someone for a crime, or you don't. If you don't, you don't come out and talk about how they might have done some things wrong, but you couldn't find enough evidence to get them. That's not what you do. That's totally inappropriate. Now, it's a shame that we don't have a court system where one of these judges or the Supreme Court would come out and rebuke him. They are the lead of all the court systems to come out and rebuke this man for doing that. That violates every tenet of being a prosecutor. If you find enough evidence to indict someone, you do it, and then you charge them, and then you make your case. If you don't have the evidence, you don't come out and say, well, we think they did some things wrong, but we couldn't find exactly what they did. But we know there's some things wrong, and you guys figure it out, meaning the Congress in an impeachment hearing. That is not the purpose of a prosecutor, and that is totally and completely inappropriate what he did. So now he's putting off his testimony because it's going to put him in a bad spot. So I think he doesn't want to testify anymore, but he's going to have a hard time when he does. Let's look at, there was a blackout in New York City, okay? And it's kind of mysterious, right? Who is it? Con Edison, the power company. They said they're investigating to figure out what happened. So I don't like conspiracies. I'm not that kind of guy. I said, but let's think about this for a minute. Normally, you can trace a power outage to overuse. It's been really hot here in the Northeast. I mean, it's been really hot for a couple of weeks now, you know, 80s and 90s. A lot of air conditioning running, a lot of people using a lot of power, and that can overpower a system. That's pretty obvious. But what we also have here is it got cooler at night. So there was no strain. There was no brownouts. All of a sudden, boop, there's a blackout in Manhattan. So you say to yourself, what could that have been? Could that have been someone testing the grid to see if they could knock the power out? And they shut down specific areas. You know, as an investigator, I would say I would definitely have to look at that because that's a terrorist act that, you know, people are looking to do. There's no doubt about it. You could shut down our power. You shut down our defenses, our ability to respond and communicate. You put us totally into a vulnerable position. So the fact that they're not coming out with it right away and that they're searching, trying to figure out what happened, well, how'd they get it back on? If a transformer blows, you fix the transformer, the power comes back on. So you think that they would have some proximate cause for this power going out for the time that it did. But they don't seem to have that. So that's interesting, which leads me into the next thing. I did see, I watched this special. And again, I'm not a conspiracy guy. That's Jim Giordano from the neighborhood. Jim is the conspiracy UFO guy. But I have told you that I did see something very, very strange in the sky here in the Jersey Shore. And I to this day, I still can't explain it. And no, there were no adult beverages involved. I saw it. My wife saw it. My kids saw it. And we have no idea what to make of it. We saw a big, black, gigantic triangle in the sky moving very, very slowly across the horizon, and it wasn't far away. It looked maybe to be a mile or so away from us at night, blocked out the stars. Weirdest thing I ever saw. No sound, no movements, but gigantic. So when I told Jim Giordano about it, he told me that, hey, the number one UFO report in the world is the big black triangle. And not laying on its side, like you would think of a stealth aircraft. This was up in the air, a big giant triangle, gigantic, moving across the sky. So it was weird. I did see that there was a specialized program set up by the American government called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP, I think is what they're calling it. And they were out there secretly investigating a lot of these reports that continue to come in. Now, I didn't report mine. I just found it extremely strange. I don't know what it is. I've looked up some of these things, and some of them, the drawings that people have made around the world, kind of look like what I saw. So I don't know what it is. But this ATIP group, they are led by a former military guy who quit the military because he was ahead of ATIP. He was in charge of this, and he quit and started a private group to get out information he says is not getting out there. And one of the first shows that he had involved two Navy pilots who were flying off of the coast of California. One pilot, the leader, who was retired so he could speak on camera, and a active duty pilot who went in, she spoke, but she didn't want to give her name or get involved. And they described seeing this unbelievable flying object over the ocean in California that is something they could not describe, and they had video of it. So I found it interesting that this ATIP group was out there looking at these things, and then this guy that was in charge, he quit the military to go and do this private because he said nobody is willing to come forward with the information. So did the aliens black us out? Is that what happened? Or was it a terrorist group? Or was it just too much power being used and an old transformer popped and blew? I don't know, but it's in the news, so I wanted to bring it up. What's connected to that? France, Mr. Macron, has just announced that France will also begin a space force. You know, Trump a couple months ago announced that he wanted to start a United States Space Force, another element of our military. And now Macron says they are going to start a space force. So there can only be two things, really. I'll give you three. It can be three things. Number one, and the most benign of all, is that, you know, space is now a strategic area. If people have satellites up there with weapons, you can control everything on the ground. So it would make sense that our military would now have a strong presence to protect us from other hostile governments who are also now getting into the business of space, flying, looking to go to the moon, doing all that kind of stuff. So maybe we do need a regulatory military group that could control the skies. That could be the most benign of all. Or it could also be that maybe the president does know something about these UFOs, or maybe their conclusion from ATIP came out that there is something out there. We don't really know what it is, but they are visiting us, and we need to have some kind of presence off the ground in space to protect us should there be some kind of a hostile attack or some kind of other move on our country. That seems less likely to me to do it. And maybe they just want to have a space force because it's the modern thing to do. I thought when France jumped in, that was really interesting, that another nation now has decided to do a space force. And you can look at things face value, or you can kind of look behind them. And I try and stay away from the conspiracy theory. That's Jimmy's thing with his tinfoil hat we make him wear once in a while. But the reality is they are creating a space force. This ATIP was created to look at this stuff, and the guy in charge and some regular common sense naval military people say they see things that they cannot explain. The one guy said he observed this thing. They got dispatched from a training mission to real world activity. Go and see this something. There's something on the radar. And they went out to this area and they saw this tic-tac shaped object hovering above the water with no visible wings, no visible flight control surfaces, no engines. And this thing, they started circling around it, trying to figure out, what is that? And the thing took off at such a high rate of speed, and it moved so fast that they lost track of it almost immediately. But the radar said, hey, guess what? We found it. It's 60 miles away. And from my recollection of the show, it got from where it was with the pilots to 60 miles away in a matter of seconds. That's a very, very high rate of speed to move that fast. There was a second set of pilots that were sent up to go look at this thing, and they actually got video of it. And you see this thing moving at such an unbelievable rate of speed that the pilot that was on the show, he says, listen, I'm not saying it's from outer space, but he had high clearance. He was involved in all this aircraft, the military aircraft. He says, I don't know anything that we have that can do anything near what this thing did. It seemed almost impossible that a craft could move the way this thing did. And they got some video of it. And apparently there's a lot of other video that the military has that they're not releasing. So we combine all of this with, recently there was a Facebook group of 500,000 people saying they were going to storm the fences at Area 51 to learn the truth. I don't think they did it. Probably not a good idea to storm the fences at Area 51. It is a military base. You'll probably have a big problem there. But I think if there is anything, maybe they're getting ready to tell us. Is it that impossible that in this gigantic universe, this beautiful universe created by such a loving God, that we are the only things here? I have never really believed that. I have never believed we're the only things in this ever-expanding universe. I just didn't think it would be easy for anybody to get here from there. You know what I mean? We don't have any radio signals yet. And to travel, you know, light years distances in enough time to survive just doesn't seem possible unless they have some other amazing technology we don't know about. So there we go. There's our lightning round here on Chasing Justice. I want to thank everybody for joining me during this episode. And we will see you next time. And remember, always be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. God bless America, everybody.